The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
We have millions of people living in the U.S. today who are not American citizens. They come from countless other nations, most of which do not share our morals or values. They worship false and violent gods. Many follow false religions and cults with radical ideologies. What's even worse is that today we have many government officials, leaders, and people in powerful positions of control that have no business being there because they've never met the requirements for U.S. citizenship. They have contempt for our Constitution and have no intention of ever assimilating to our culture. Now, we already know all of this, but what most people never take the time to study is what the actual requirements are for becoming a naturalized U.S. citizen. There are only 7, and you can easily look them all up, but I'll just mention a few here. First, have good moral character. Number 2, be proficient in basic spoken and written English and demonstrate knowledge of U.S. history and government. And 3, swear allegiance to the United States. That oath of allegiance includes supporting and defending the U.S. Constitution and the laws of the United States against its enemies, both foreign and domestic. It also includes renouncing any allegiance to any other nation. But today we have legislators in Congress who openly advocate against our Constitution and laws and have sought to undermine our nation in favor of the third world countries they came from. Further, there are many Islamic politicians, in particular, that have not only skirted these citizenship requirements, but have also sworn their oath fraudulently. And everyone knows it because they boast openly about how they've worked the system. Not to mention the millions that were allowed to come here illegally. An enormous orchestrated project designed and facilitated by our own government in past years, and these people are now defrauding natural-born U.S. citizens and taking advantage of what they consider to be free health care, housing, food assistance, cash, and a myriad of other benefits. Hard-working, patriotic Americans are rightfully outraged. Those who've now been thoroughly brainwashed into the one-world mindset, and there are millions of them, are fighting to allow this travesty to continue and even expand as they defend those who are hostile to our nation, American citizens, and our national morals, standards, and values. Our nation is unique in that it was meant to be a melting pot where people from all over the world could come together and join our grand quest for freedom in the new world by becoming citizens of our new nation. The Statue of Liberty welcomes immigrants with the words, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." But there was always a process for that. Immigrants were required to have some skin in the game. Citizenship and the benefits thereof required commitment, hard work, productivity, and allegiance. My own grandparents were immigrants. They came here at a time when the rule of law was enforced. They met the requirements to become American citizens, and they loved their new nation, and they were extremely productive members of society. Today, though, we're not so much a melting pot, but more like a tossed salad. Those coming to our country now do so waving the flags of enemy nations. They refuse to assimilate to our American way of life. And almost every day now, I meet people who cannot speak or read English. Call any customer service line for any purpose, and the first thing you're asked to do is press 1 for English. This, despite the requirement that immigrants must be proficient in basic spoken and written English. But now, pressing 1 for English is the least of our troubles. Not so long ago, we were actually making significant progress in healing the wounds of our nation's racial division, coming together quite well as Americans. Now we have white people protesting their own whiteness. We have young white women voluntarily kneeling, bowing down, and then kissing the feet of random black men in the streets of our cities, and then filming this to make a statement. Just because these women are ashamed of being white, and just because these men are black. The leftists in our nation decry systemic racism, while they're actually the ones perpetuating it. In a nation built on the blood, sweat, and tears of strong, hard-working men who understood that failure was never an option, we now have the demonic lie of toxic masculinity, in which all men are automatically guilty of misogyny and chauvinism. And in a nation founded on unwavering faith in God Almighty, we have, at best, weak, cowardly, people-pleasing hirelings feeding flocks of deluded sheep a repulsive porridge of twisted theology mixed with New Age psychobabble that may taste sweet but is actually loving people straight to hell. Proverbs 20:17 reminds us, "The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." And that's at best. More concerning is the many false religions, man-made gods and idols, and the fact that we've now become so dismissive of Holy Scripture and so insanely inclusive that even the Church of Satan is considered a legitimate religion protected by our First Amendment. You need to understand, our founding fathers were only able to establish this once great nation in the first place because they sought to do God's will. They were humble, and they were infinitely thankful for God's mercy and grace. Many will argue we were never a Christian nation, but real history says otherwise. From the Mayflower Compact to the Declaration of Independence to the way our founders lived, worked, and did everything for the glory of God, it's clear our nation would never have survived without our citizens' collective faith in God. And not just any God, but the Christian God and Jesus Christ, his Son. Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Our Declaration of Independence refers to our founders' faith at least four times, the laws of nature and nature's God, and what was once self-evident is not so much anymore, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our Creator gave us these rights, not government, not school teachers, not the current social media influencers. Our founders knew we had the right to life. They knew we had the right to liberty in this nation, and they knew we had the right to pursue happiness, because these were all gifts from God. It was God who gave us our right to pursue happiness. But no one has the right to have happiness handed to them on a silver platter by the Almighty State. The Declaration also refers to God as the supreme judge of the world. And if you read further, you'll know our nation was founded with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. That means God, Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you that America was never a Christian nation, because it would never have even become a nation if not for the divine providence of God. Now let's talk about our individual states. Do you realize that all 50 U.S. states acknowledge God in their constitutions? Here are just a few. "We, the people of the state of Arizona, grateful to Almighty God for our liberties, do ordain this constitution. We, the people of the state of Illinois, grateful to Almighty God for the civil, political, and religious liberty. We, the people of the state of Ohio, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom. We, the people of Wisconsin, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom. We, of the state of New York, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom." And believe it or not, even California. "We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom in order to secure and perpetuate His blessings, do establish this Constitution. And we, the people of the state of Michigan, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of freedom." Almighty God does not mean Allah, and it never did, not even in Michigan or other states that Islam has now conquered. It meant the one true and living Almighty God and Jesus Christ, His Son, who all Americans once worshipped and revered from sea to shining sea. But today our people have been so brainwashed into hating their own nation, their own race, and even their own gender. The pressure is intense for young people, but surprisingly, even our elderly are now embracing woke ideologies. They hate Trump, but can't tell you why. They despise capitalism and embrace communism instead, but they ignore the fact that over 100 million people have suffered and died under communist tyranny. They call patriots fascist, even as they attempt to force their radical socialist agendas on all of society, with harsh penalties for wrongthink. That is the definition of fascism. They believe gender has somehow magically become very fluid in the past few years. And they hate men, but they can't give you the definition of a woman. They have an especially intense hatred of white Christian men. There's the trifecta of liberal intolerance. That's what really triggers the brainwashed, useful idiots in our nation today. White Christian men. Many of these leftists have even called for all white Christian men to be put in concentration camps and exterminated, and yet they call us fascists. One of the latest buzzword phrases the America haters have grabbed and run with is Christian nationalism. To them, it's synonymous with oppression and tyranny. But it's really just a phrase their puppet masters have used to further incite rage. Leftists love to see their minions enraged, to the point that blood is shed. This is demonic. You need to understand that blood is currency in the spiritual realm, and the demonic liberals in today's America cannot shed enough innocent blood, whether it be through random attacks on innocent people, the killing of preborn babies, the maiming and mutilation of children under the guise of gender-affirming care, the destruction of the natural family, or the outright hunting and killing of Christians and patriots. God had a purpose when he dispersed the people from the Tower of Babel, gave them different languages, and created multiple distinct nations. He had a purpose when he created our nation. I wish that, as Americans, we could get back to the vision and purpose our founders had for us. I am an American, but I respect and admire my Irish heritage. We should all learn of and respect our own ancestry and heritage. But here in America, we should all be one nation under God, because loving our nation and following Christ is not hateful or bigoted. I shouldn't even need to say that, but sadly, I do. I've asked a lot of people, including many who rally against Christian nationalism, what exactly is wrong with Christian nationalism? None have been able to give me a clear answer. The attacks on what they're calling Christian nationalism are just one of their latest ploys in the agenda to complete the destruction of America. The leftists call it getting back to our progressive roots. But progressive is just a code word for satanic. It's definitely not any kind of progress. Just the opposite. If we want real progress, our nation needs to repent and turn back to God, and in doing so, discover the true roots our founders planted for us. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com, and ask for message number 507.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at wisconsinchristiannews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.